fun together.
The Fox, your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox Knowledge.
Oh, a weekend, right? That makes you feel good. Although, if you haven't been outside yet this morning, it's the return of the blusteries. Oh, boy, here we go. Friends, welcome to a Let's Talk program to wrap up a busy week. Hi, Scott Giese with you again. The Ironhead Jeff Byers is a little busy today. A little? Yeah, more than a little. He'll be joining us later this hour. But of course, Penn State Wrestling, boy, they're good. There's no other word for it. So we'll have more details on that later on. Got a busy show tonight, or today. See, I don't even know what time of day it is. Busy show today. Lots to cover. News, sports, and so on. Again, the Ironhead will be joining us about 8:40. And normally, you know, if you're a regular listener, you know that our second segment here this hour is all about sports. I'll mention wrestling briefly, but we're going to save the blow-by-blow stuff, if you will, until Jeff joins us right after 8:40 this morning. Suffice us to say, they had a pretty good day yesterday. Not bad, all right? Again, the expectations for this team are up in the skies someplace, and they delivered yesterday. If you're not following or didn't follow yesterday, a perfect 20-0 yesterday. They're all 10 guys, both won twice. I believe that is incredibly rare, but that's a question I'll ask Jeff, later on this hour. They were perfect, and most of those matches, bonus points. You know, major decisions, technical falls, a whole bunch of fall pins, and so on. they had pretty much a perfect day yesterday. Now the question is, can they do it again today? Quarterfinals begin at noon. All the guys are in the quarterfinals. They all won. Nobody's in consolation round yet. All right, knock on, what is this, Formica again or something. We'll see how it goes. Quarterfinals again this afternoon. Semifinals would be this evening. Of course, a lot of consolation round stuff just, you know, in the middle there, if you will. The finals, and there's the question is, how many Penn State guys could actually make the finals? How many could make the finals? That's tomorrow night. Okay, so we will do some more sports talk later on this hour. And then Jeff will join us right after 8:40, and we'll get the full scoop from him. We'll go down every guy and what happened and other teams and all this sort of stuff. So stay tuned for that. We also have a special guest, second hour, local state representative Paul Takac is going to join me here in the studio. If you're a regular listener, you know that we have our local elected officials on a semi-regular basis, and we're honored that they either come into our studio or join us by phone, depending on where they are. And it's sort of time to start that rotation again. So we're going to be doing that, starting with Mr. Takac here at 9 o'clock. We're gonna talk state issues, but of course the big one, the massive one, if you will, is the possible closing of Rockview State Prison and the Quijana Boot Camp, which is, if you're not familiar with that, that's just above Carthus. I used to, with my old job, I used to drive through there, well, a lot, actually. If I'm going up to Potter County, I would drive snowshoe to Carthus, through the boot camp. I mean, literally, the road, if you've never been up there, it's at the top of a mountain, essentially. It goes through the boot camp, and then you kind of keep going. You hang a right. It's an absolutely beautiful drive. You go to a small town called Cinnamahoning, and then if you turn left, you're headed to Emporium. in Cameron County. And if you sort of turn right, you can, and you make another turn, then you're headed up toward Austin and Cowdersport and Potter County. And an absolutely beautiful drive. Yes, there are stretches there. There's nothing there except trees and deer and animals. I mean, there's nothing. Which is great. All right. Now, maybe not in the wintertime when the weather's inclement, because I'm not sure how often they actually plow those roads up there. But in nice weather, you know, spring, for instance, summertime, in the fall when the leaves are changing, it's an absolutely fantastic drive up there. And for whatever reason, state government put a boot camp right at the top of a mountain there. We're talking, these folks are removed from the rest of us. Now, you know, a boot camp is for very minor, you know, minor infractions and so on. You know, nothing major. Major would go to Rockview. Minor, and usually, I don't know about if there's an age limit or something, but usually it's younger people that have done minor infractions of various kinds. They end up at the boot camp, and they serve their time, and then whatever happens after that. State government wants to close them both down. And Rockview Falls in Mr. Takak's district or zone, they are starting a series of, I call them town halls, call them public meetings, whatever. The first one is this evening, actually. And if I'm correct, and we'll ask the representative next hour, you don't have to obviously be a resident of his district to come to one of these. The one tonight is at the Milesburg Community Center. This is this evening from 5 until 6:30 p.m. Milesburg Community Center on Mill Street. And so you can come, and I guess you sign up, and you have a chance to speak your piece briefly, all right, not some big long diatribe or something. And the representative will be there. I think some other folks will be there. This is the first of five of these over the next, I'm looking at the dates, over the next 2.5 weeks, I believe. There's one next week in Howard. There is one the following, well, more than one the following week. Benner Township Building, also the following week. Sklo Library, Downtown State College, and then the week after that there will be one in Snowshoe. And, you know, the idea is you can get together and you can speak your piece. This is a terrible idea. Maybe this is a good idea, however you want to say it. But we'll be talking with Representative Takak about state issues, but especially that one. Coming up in our 9 o'clock hour. In the meantime, we do have a little open line time here, even with a busy show. If you'd like to chime in on, well, anything, 814-954-7266. 814-954-7266. All right, let's go over just some basic things here as we sort of ease our way into a weekend. First off, again, if you haven't been outside yet today, yes, it's the return of the blusteries. A lot of wind. Now, not nearly as much as Sunday, all right? But it's breezy and cold. Now, again, if you're a regular listener, you already know this. Now, maybe you're a new listener, which, first off, thank you very much. Where's my bell? There it is. Welcome to the group. Spread the word. Let everybody else know about what's going on here on 98.7 The Fox. Our friend Joe Bastardi, WeatherBell.com, joins us most Mondays. Folks, he's been warning us about this for weeks. Latter part of March into April, it's going to get cold again. And yes, snow again. I had to pull it out of my mouth. Yes. Now, on my device, all right, I have several weather apps. And they roughly say the same thing, all right? They kind of maybe present it differently and so on, but they roughly say the same thing. And so if you haven't checked this, again, I in recent times I've seen people outside working, like mulching, and I don't know if they're planting. I hope they're not planting because it might still be a little early, because it seems like all these forecasts for the next 2 weeks at least, because normally that's all the further they go out, 2 weeks, and so on. They all are saying that most nights, not every night, but most nights, probably for the next 2 weeks, Temperature will be at or below freezing. So we are not done with cold weather yet. I mean, you know, my drive into the studio this morning, all right, on my dashboard, I got a little thermometer thing there, which I trust seems to always be right. 30 degrees on the drive in this morning. That, of course, would be sub-freezing. So if you're planning to do various yard work, plan accordingly, because it's going to be cold most nights. Not January cold, just cold. And yes, I did see a forecast that later next week could be the return of some white stuff. You have been warned, okay? Pay attention. You know, if you have a device, I'm assuming everybody that has a smartphone has a weather app of some kind. Could be AccuWeather, could be WeatherBell. Well, probably not WeatherBell. WeatherBell kind of goes in a different direction, but there's a number of weather apps out there. Pay attention later next week. We may be getting a little something. Oh boy, that'll set the iron head off. All right, he's ready for spring. He said that here in the show. He wants boring weather. Well, okay, Mr. Boring. You had your boring weather last week. We had some boring weather this week, not on Sunday. Anyway, get ready. Don't put the warm clothes away just yet. All right. And in this week, I've been, you know, driving around out and about and so on. I was on the Penn State campus a couple days ago for an appointment that I had. Of course, you know, students walking around and so on. Now, this was 2 days ago when it was nice. It was nice, right? And of course, you know, kids wearing t-shirts, kids wearing shorts. I'm thinking, okay. Now, granted, some kids are just insane. Is that about the best way to put it? They don't exactly dress appropriately for the weather. And if their parents, wherever they're from, if their parents saw them some days like, you were wearing what? You know, there's something like that. A memory that I have from, oh my gosh, this is like 30 years ago with the old show. It was a January morning. It was 20 degrees below zero that morning. And I'm not talking wind chill. It was 20 degrees below zero that morning, which is around here. That's super, super, super cold. We're talking really cold, all right? And I'm downtown, State College, and here's this student. It was a guy at the corner of College and Allen, waiting to, you know, cross the street. And this kid, I mean, it's 20 below zero, folks. Well, how would you dress if it were 20 below zero? Think about that. This kid had no coat on. It looked like he was wearing a t-shirt and pants. At least he didn't have shorts on. At least he had pants on. But that's how this kid went outside, no coat. I'm not even sure if he had a hat. And he's outside in 20 degree below zero weather, dressed like this. I'm thinking, son, if you were my son, oh, we'd have a chat. Like, okay, you're asking to get sick. Won't get that cold. But, again, folks, you've been warned. Now, hopefully this is going to be the last time this week, or the last time that we're going to do what I keep jokingly call the electric report. Again, that storm that hit us on Sunday was bad news. I mean, it's just holy mackerel. Again, allegedly at one spot, somewhere near Belfont, winds got up to 100 miles an hour. So-called downburst, like boom. It didn't last long. It was only a few minutes, but 100-mile-an-hour winds, even for a few minutes. Whoa, holy mackerel. And West Penn Power crews, electric crews, they've been working like crazy all week long to restore power to so many places here in central PA and also over toward western PA primarily. And West Penn Power, and you can look this up yourself, go online, West Penn Power outage map or something like that. And so they have a map of Pennsylvania, and you can follow all of the outages right now. And all week long, there have been little dots all over the Pennsylvania map. I mean, it's just incredible how many people lost power. We're talking thousands and thousands of people lost power with that big blow on Sunday. It's been gradually coming down. The good news for this morning, well, okay, hold it. That just changed. I was going to say the good news for this morning, the only dots left on this map primarily, And there were a lot of dots here in Center County. I mean, Center County had the most little dots on this map. Now, I swear, I'm looking at this map, folks. It's radio. If this were TV, I'd hold up my phone. There were only two dots on the map earlier this morning. There are now seven dots on the map, and they're all off of Fox Hill Road near State College Airport. So apparently they're still having some problems. If you're familiar with that stretch or you live near there and so on, all these little dots are in the neighborhood of Fox Hill Road, State College Airport. If you know where the Fullington Bus Depot or headquarters is or whatever, they're all in that general neighborhood. And for some reason, earlier this morning, there were just two dots. Now there are seven dots. If that's you and you're in that area, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. Has power either been out since Sunday? Or again, we've got blustery conditions again this morning. I know at my house, as I was kind of getting ready this morning, we had a brownout for about 2 seconds. Where everything just kind of blinked out. And I'm thinking, oh, please don't. So, again, if you're in a spot where you've got some low-lying trees and electric lines, again, with the breeziness we have again this morning, could that lead to problems? Well, maybe. Okay. So, keep an eye out. Again, kudos to those electric crews. And I know they called in some electric crews from outside, maybe from other states, literally, to handle the load because, you know, earlier this week, a few days ago, it was insane how many people had lost power and so on. I feel fortunate. At my house, we lost power for like 5 seconds on Sunday. And it popped back on, thinking, whoo, thank you. Other folks, not as fortunate. So watch out for power. Watch out for the colder temperatures. We are not done with them yet. All right, some other notes. Now, we mentioned this earlier this week. If you're out and about in your car and you're up at the intersection, Interstate 80, Interstate 99, again, they're going to be redoing that whole interchange because it is desperately needed. It is unbelievably clunky up there. Always has been, frankly. And if you missed it, PennDOT is doing some work, I guess, on a bridge or an overpass, which they demolished half of this bridge or overpass on 80, very close to the connection there with I-99. If you've been up there, you've hit the detours. Probably yesterday, you hit the detours. Those detours are supposed to continue today. So if you already know that you're going to be going up in that basic direction today, you might want to kind of pull and look this up. Because you're either going to hit their detour from whatever direction you're coming from, maybe plan ahead to avoid the detour. Now, I believe that's only supposed to be for yesterday and today. Maybe it'll continue into the weekend with whatever work they're doing on this bridge or overpass. But if you're heading that direction and you're not paying attention, you may hit a detour, which, of course, will slow you up. Plan accordingly. Try to get around that, and then hopefully we'll be back to some, if you will, normalcy like early next week. All right, so be on the lookout for that. I noticed there's a fun event coming up tomorrow, which I remember that when this happened a year ago, we actually had a guest on the program about this event. The 2025 Multicultural Children's Festival. This is going to be tomorrow at State College High School South Building, all right, free plug alert. This event tomorrow from 10:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. This is just, it's a fun festival. And Multicultural Children's Festival means that they're going to have a number of activities and tables and things there. It's kind of celebrating other cultures. And it's called a children's festival, but frankly, anybody can go. All right. You can be an older child. Come on. We're all children at heart, right? So if you're interested in going, this again is the State College High School South Building, that side of the street. One thing apparently that's new this year, they're going to have for sale international food made by the State College High School Culinary Arts Program. That's pretty cool. All right, so food, I guess, authentically made from other countries. All right, that's kind of neat. So I guess that would be a fancy takeout and so on. A bunch of interactive activities there. Looks like it's just a lot of fun, especially for children, for kids, but also for kids at heart, for adults. And according to what I have here, this says the first 750 registered children will receive a take-home bag and a multicultural book. All right, that's cool. Now, two things. Number one, this is a free event. You do need to register in advance. In other words, they really don't want folks apparently to just show up. They'd like to get, I guess, a vibe or an idea about how many people are coming. How do you do that? Well, our friends from WPSU Public Broadcasting are involved with this event, along with State College schools. And so if you go to the public TV radio website, which is wpsu.psu.edu, on their page, look for this festival. It should be kind of big and bold. Click on there. It's very easy to put in your information and register. Probably, I don't know, print that out, I suppose, when you're done. And then when you go tomorrow, if you're registered, it says here are the first 750 registered kids will get a take-home bag and a multicultural book. All right. Actually, I think if you wanted to, you could just show up tomorrow. But they really would like people to register in advance. And again, if you want to get the freebies, you've got to register in advance. All right. So again, go to the website, wpsu.psu.edu. Look for the information about the cultural event tomorrow, 10:30 to 2:30, and register. Doesn't cost anything, and there you go. Have a good time. That looks like a very fun event again tomorrow. All right, before we take a break, are you happy? Are you happy out there? All right, I don't know if you maybe you saw this this week. Somebody, who turns this out? Does it say here? I'm not sure who puts this out. The World Happiness Report. Where are the happiest people in the world? Well, we'll take a quick call here. The happiest people in the world apparently are not here. I'm sorry to say they're not here. We'll hold that thought. We'll take a very quick call because we got to take a break. But well, okay, we won't take a very quick call. That's fine. I'm not sure. Bucket list, call it. I would love to visit Scandinavia sometime, Northern Europe, because we keep being told over and over, these are happy people in Northern Europe. And apparently, especially in Finland, they are very happy in Finland. And once again this year, Finland has been named as the world's happiest country. And a lot of their neighbors are up there with them. Denmark, Sweden, Norway. Again, I'm not sure what it is about Northern Europe. They're just happy. Okay, they're happy people and so on. Where is the U.S. on this list? Well, we apparently went down. Again, we are in 24th place. Okay, that's... Now, granted, there are, what, 200 countries across the planet? Number 24 is not that bad, I suppose. Africa, once again, is near the... The African countries are down near the bottom. They are not happy in Africa. Okay. Lots of different reasons, I suppose, for that. But, I don't know, going outside today and chanting, we're number 24, might not be the best way to go. But if you are feeling especially happy today and you want to go out and chant, we're number 24, go ahead. And, if you know, obviously State College people literally from all over the world here. If you're from Finland, I guess you're smiling today. You're just a happy person. All right, that's fine. All right, we're going to take a break. We will have a brief sports report. Again, later on this hour, the Ironhead live from Philadelphia. Those wrestlers are amazing. We will come right back.
The Fox.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
Like Cummings Supply Incorporated, located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, is looking to hire numerous carpenters, laborers, and operators starting immediately for the construction season. Like Cummings Supply is a reputable contractor that has been in business since 1948 and is family-owned. Like Cummings Supply specializes in building bridges, box culverts, and also performs demolition work throughout the mid-state region. Having a CDL is preferred but not necessary. Stop by their office located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport and fill out an application and have two forms of ID ready. Lycoming Supply is an EEO employer. You may mail a resume or visit their office at Lycoming Supply, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. for more information. Lycoming Supply Incorporated, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 today.
The Center Hall Farm Store is proud to serve our community as a small family business that provides big-time service. Folks, you can still stock up on those wood pellets this winter. The Center Hall Farm Store makes its own horse, cow, pig, chicken, and bird feeds and has a great variety of pet feeds for your needs. Open weekdays from 8 to 4 and Saturday from 8 to noon. Check us out at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall or on the web at centerhallfarmstore.com. That's centerhallfarmstore.com. Finally, the soundtrack of summer is returning to the airwaves here in Happy Valley. And it's doing so right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This year's Pittsburgh Pirates offer a mix of veteran stars.
Andrew McCormick has won it! They're going crazy! The Pirates have won this game!
And perhaps baseball's newest shining star.
The 2-2. He got him, and he's done it again. Paul Skeens finishes strong.
Every game, all season long, brings the promise of new excitement.
The Bucks walk it off in grand fashion.
Don't miss the action of Pirates baseball this season. The Buccos are back here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Raise the Jolly Roger!
Get up and get going with the Happy Valleys, 98.7 The Fox.
The Doobies. They just don't make what we call bumper music anymore like we used to have. Are we in full agreement on that? Yes, we are. Even if you're a youngster, all right? I'm sorry. They just not as good as the old days, but we'll leave that for another time. Let's talk here for a Friday morning. Scott with you again. The Ironhead Jeff Byers should be joining us in about 15 minutes live from Philadelphia. We're going to get the full scoop on a pretty darn good day yesterday for the Penn State wrestling team at the NCAA championships down in Philadelphia this year. I can imagine a lot of blue and white down there, but we'll get the full rundown, sort of bout by bout and all that stuff from Jeff coming up in about 15 minutes or so. If you didn't miss it, or if you missed it, perfect yesterday. 20-0, 10 guys wrestling, well, all won in the first round. They all won in the second round. They're all in the quarterfinals now today. Can they all, is that possible? Could they all get to the semifinals this evening? Is that possible? Well, we'll find out from Jeff, you know, maybe in about 15 minutes or so. They're off to a record-breaking start. Could this go down as the best wrestling team in the history of college wrestling? Maybe. Maybe. We'll see. If you want to follow the action, folks, I'd love to say that we're carrying it. Unfortunately, not. All right. Because of prior other, you know, commitments, and not by us, by other folks and Penn State and so on. If you want to listen to the Ironhead, you can do that online. If you go to Penn State's website, which is gopsusports.com. GoPSUSports.com. Click on the link there called Lion Vision. Now, this is not vision. This is all audio, but it's under that umbrella. And it should be probably the first thing that pops up is the NCAA wrestling. Click on that link. You can stream, listen to the Ironhead, all the action. The next round, again, starts at noon today. So the action will, you know, get rolling again at noon. And if anybody from ESPNU is listening, probably not, but we'll take a shot at this anyway. On TV, at least yesterday, ESPNU, that particular channel, had coverage of the tournament down in Philadelphia. And so I came across that. I'm like, I'm working at home. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to kind of watch this. Yeah, I watched some basketball too, but I was watching the wrestling. Got one rather large complaint to ESPNU, and if you watch this, you kind of noticed the same thing yesterday. Now, granted, there were a lot of matches yesterday at the same time, and so sometimes there were like two matches on the screen at the same time, and they're bouncing around to different matches and so on. Obviously, not just Penn State guys, but, you know, guys from all over. Saw some Lock Haven wrestlers, you know, taking part and so on. So I'm watching the coverage on ESPNU, which was okay, except, you know, down in the corner of the screen, it would have the names of the two wrestlers and, you know, what school are they from and the score right now. And it would have, okay, what period, one, two, or three, no clock. Most of the time I'm watching yesterday, I'm like, I don't know how much time's left in this period. Hey, ESPNU, could you put a clock up, please, so I can keep track? Because if it's the last, you know, 10 seconds of a period, you might have a flurry of action from one guy, and you're thinking, okay, here it comes. Meanwhile, the time's running out, and you don't know it because it's not on the screen. Come on, ESPNU, you can do a better job than that, all right? That's just a thought. Let's mention two wrestlers from Center County that were involved in the action yesterday, and both guys sort of up and down. Jude Swisher is from Belfont. He wrestles for Penn. He got off to a good start yesterday. He got a fall in his first match, but in the second round, unfortunately, he was the victim of a fall. So now Swisher has fallen into the consolation round today. And Malachi Duvall from Penns Valley. I know Malachi. He wrestles for George Mason. Now, he had a rough start yesterday. He was pinned in the first round, and so he fell into the consolation round where he had a really good match. He had a 13-0 victory in his second match. So that's good. All right. So both of those young men, Swisher and Duvall, are in the consolation rounds now today, and it's like you better keep winning or you're done. So we'll try to keep an eye on those two young men as well as best we can. I think when the Ironhead joins us a little later on, I've heard this rumor. I'm going to guess it's probably tomorrow. Oh, boy. President Donald Trump is going to show up at the event. Oh, yeah. Yeah, like we really need to have him there, okay? I don't know if he's going to know anything about that, but that's the rumor, that he's going to show up at the championships tomorrow. Wonderful. Okay. All right, let's go over some other things. First off, no other Penn State results from last night. There's, of course, a whole lot of activities going on today and this weekend. Let's see if I can keep track of them all here. The NCAA Women's Swimming and Diving Championships are going on through tomorrow. That's out in Washington State. The NCAA Fencing Championships are going on. Is that here? Yeah, that must be here. Okay. Obviously, wrestling's going on in Philadelphia. Penn State men's tennis team is entertaining Nebraska today. At Medlar Field, Lubrano Park, yeah, it's going to be maybe a shade on the chilly side. But the Penn State baseball team has a weekend set with Michigan State. Three games today, tomorrow, Sunday. The game this evening will start at 5:30 p.m. Again, Penn State baseball games are free. All right, to show up and sit and enjoy the game. What is this? They are having trucker hat giveaway. Oh, it's only for Penn State students? Boo. Come on. Trucker hat giveaway. I'm not exactly sure what that means, but it sounds like fun. Penn State softball is at Indiana on the road this weekend. And then lots of other things going on as well. The Ironheads, Mr. Results, he'll have the full rundown, and it'll be a full rundown on our Monday morning program. So listen for that. One thing we missed from, I think, a couple of days ago, and this actually makes my heart glad, I suppose. Penn State athletes who earn academic all Big Ten honors. And they do this by season, fall, winter, spring. Well, obviously, winter would be now, or the end of winter. The winter season would be now. 94 Penn State student athletes earned academic all Big Ten honors. So we're going to ring the bell for them. All right, that's terrific. Let's see. We can, now this is where I would play my favorite game, Quiz the Ironhead. Which Penn State winter team had the most academic All-Americans? Yes, there are still student athletes out there. Incredible. Well, I'll tell you the answer. The women's swimming and diving team has 20 academic All-Americans. That's great. Right behind them is the men's swimming and diving team. They had 19 academic All-Americans. The men's hockey team, 15 academic All-Americans. And we're going to find out, I guess, early, is it this weekend or early next week, who makes the NCAA tournament. Again, our belief, Penn State has done enough after a poor start to get an at-large bid. They've done enough to get in, but that's not official yet. All right, but we're going to, you know, keep tabs on that. Wrestling team, 12 academic All-Americans. Again, somebody's doing something right. All right, that's great. Both gymnastics teams, the men's team and the women's team, both had 11 academic All-Americans each. The women's basketball team had 4. The men's basketball team had 2. Now, 94 sounds like a lot. Actually, they've had more in recent years. The biggest one was back in 2021-22, so 3 years ago, they had 123 winter athletes that were academic All-Americans. But still, 94, that's pretty darn good. So, again, student athlete is not a misnomer. There are some folks that still believe in this stuff. Now, again, yesterday and today, craziest sports days of the year. So, you know, and especially maybe today. Today is the actual start of the NCAA women's basketball tournament. All right? Like the full run. They've had their play-in games and so on. So the full run of those games are today. Obviously, it's the second day of the men's tournament. So the games will start at noon. And yes, on our clock, they go past midnight. They did yesterday. I don't know, some of you are really into this stuff, and you watch what? How many games do you try to watch? Or you get the setup where you can watch 4 games at the same time. God love you, all right? I kind of picked and choosed yesterday as I was doing various things. I saw the McNeese State win over Clemson. That was a wild, wild game. Clemson was a 5 seed. They're done. Boy, by the way, the ACC used to be really good at basketball. You got Duke, okay. Maybe North Carolina. The rest of them, it's like, where did you go? They're right down the drain. And Clemson, in the first half, is this a record? In the first half yesterday, Clemson, for a half, scored 13 points. That's all they could manage, 13 points. Now, they ended up with 67. So in the second half, they scored 54 points. And you're thinking, what the heck happened in the first half? 13 points. McNeese State had a 24-point lead at one point in the second half. The final result, again, was 2. Clemson desperately tried to climb back in that game late, and there was too much of a hole. They couldn't get out of it. So that was interesting. Michigan won late last night, but it went down to the last shot before they could win their particular game. So the Big Ten right now, Purdue won yesterday, Wisconsin won yesterday. Big Ten doing okay, I guess. All the talk, SEC has a grand total of 16 teams. 14 of them made the tournament, which is stunning. That's an amazing number. And you're thinking, okay, really? Well, Georgia got trashed by Gonzaga yesterday. Not a giant surprise on that one. Let's see how many SEC teams are still standing by, shall we say, Sunday night. We'll see how that goes. But again, if you're a sports fan, like this is it. This is your week. One quick basketball note. Caden Mingo, who is one of the Penn State men's basketball recruits, probably, I guess, the highest-rated recruit in team history as far as the rankings and ratings and all that sort of thing. Earlier this week, he was named the New York Gatorade Boys Basketball Player of the Year, which is a very high honor. All right, New York State, figure New York City, all right, that's a really high honor. This kid is a Cracker Jack top-notch guard, and I know a lot of fans are excited to see him, see him in action in a Penn State uniform coming up here in hopefully more than multiple years. All right, in other words, more than one. The transfer portal opens on Monday, and yes, Penn State has some rebuilding to do. So we're going to see, how Mike Rhodes and crew do, because they're losing a bunch of guys. They're getting 3 recruits coming in. They need more than 3 guys. Opens on Monday. Next week could be wild and crazy. Get ready. Let's talk. What about those wrestlers? We'll find out right after this.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Your home for local sports. We are Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This spring we'll have live coverage of Center County baseball and softball. With the long, strong traditions of great players and great teams in our area, you can follow this season from opening day through the state championship. All right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. We wish all of the local athletes the best of luck in the upcoming season. Stay tuned for more local sports right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
All right, folks, just put him to sleep. That's kind of what happened yesterday. I mean, holy mackerel. All right, we'll mention again, coming up in our 9 o'clock hour, local state representative Paul Takak's going to join us. State issues and especially Rockby Prison. That's the big one. So we're going to be talking with the state representative coming up in the next hour. Right now, let's go live to Philadelphia. Probably the most bored man on the planet. The Ironhead, Jeff Byers, yesterday. Boy, I don't know. Ironhead, boy, it was touch and go there with some of that wrestling yesterday. How'd it go yesterday? Let's start with a general question. How'd it go yesterday?
Overall, I think it went pretty well, the assessment. When you're looking at it, it's like, well, Penn State's favored in all of these matches, so 20-0 was a possibility going into the day. But you just get to these tournaments over the years, and there's just something that, you know, somewhere somebody gets a little banged up, somebody gets caught, a little flat-footed, whatever. Tournament wrestling is just different because, again, one mistake here or there, and suddenly you're on a different course. And what Penn State did yesterday, again, while not completely unexpected, it is just something to witness. And we're still not 100% sure, but talking to a couple of other folks who are more on the historian front, pretty confident. Nobody can track down any other time where one team has had 10 wrestlers into the quarterfinals. So I think Penn State has already made some history here in Philadelphia.
I was going to ask, because I figure, you know, wrestling's like baseball, basketball, football. There are stat freaks out there that keep track of this stuff. I was going to ask, has anybody ever done this before? You're thinking this has probably never happened before.
Yeah, nobody has found anything, and we have the records here from all of the championships. There were a couple of teams where we're like, man, maybe, and then you go back and it's like, nope. So I'm, while not 100% confident, nobody, has been able to find anything yet, which makes me feel pretty confident, that this is the first time that a team has had its entire starting lineup advance to the quarterfinals of the national tournament.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. All right, let's go. I didn't do anything last segment, really, because you were coming up here. Let's go sort of weight by weight. You know, wherever you want to start, go low to high, I don't care. Let's go weight by weight, each guy, and what they did yesterday. Take it away.
Well, just beyond impressive. At the end of the day, you're looking at 20-0, three pins, seven technical falls, three major decisions, and seven decisions with no losses. Luke Lilledahl just kind of blazed his way to the quarterfinals. A couple of tech falls over Marcelo Milani of Cornell and Blake West of Northern Illinois. Braden Davis, we knew was going to have a tough matchup in the second round. He beat Kirk Phipps of Bucknell 12-4. Major decision in the opening round, and then was able to get past Braxton Brown of Maryland 5-3, wrestled a really smart match in that one. He has obviously a very tough draw. He'll get the number one seed, Lucas Bird of Illinois, this afternoon in the quarterfinals. Bo Bartlett, a couple of decisions, but again, wrestling smartly, and I think just on a mission here to try to close out this thing with the only thing he hasn't accomplished in college wrestling, which is a national title. He'll face C.J. Composto of Penn in the quarterfinals today. Penn had a really good first day, by the way, as well. Shane Van Ness got the pin in the first round, then an 11-1 major decision. Just think he's wrestling really, really well, but he'll have a good test today. Lachlan McNeil of North Carolina, Canadian, is awaiting him in the quarterfinals. That should be a good test for Shane Van Ness. And then Tyler Kasak also had a first-round fall and then picked up an 8-3 decision over Cody Chittum of Iowa State in the second round last night. He'll face eighth-seeded Joey Blaze of Purdue in the quarterfinals today. Mitchell Messenbrink, oh, what a surprise. Two technical falls. That gives him now 18 on the season. That leads the nation, and he'll face Cameron Amin in the quarterfinals. He faced Amin in the quarterfinals last year and won that matchup. Amin was wrestling for Michigan then. He wrestles for Oklahoma State now, but Messenbrink will be favored in that quarterfinal matchup. Levi Haynes at 174, got a first-round fall over Branson John, and then got a decision over Gavin Sachs, shutting him out 4-0. He'll face seventh-seeded Danny Wask of Navy in the quarterfinals here this afternoon. Carter Storace pursuing a fifth NCAA title, unprecedented, and he had a couple of technical falls yesterday over Caden Rogers and Shane Cartagena Walsh. He'll face the eighth-seed Jackson Smith of Maryland. Storace has a couple of wins over him already this season. Josh Barr, the number four seed, coming off of that injury at Big Ten's, got a 9-1 major decision over Tucker Hogan from Lock Haven, and then really hard-fought 5-2 sudden victory takedown over Trey Munoz of Oregon State. And so he's into the quarterfinals against former Nittany Lion Michael Beard of Lehigh. Beard has just one loss on the season. That came at the hands of Josh Barr in the dual meet earlier this year. And then at heavyweight, Greg Kirkfleet had a technical fall in the first round over Sam Mitchell of Wyoming, then a 4-0 decision over Gavin Hoffman of Lock Haven last night. He'll face the number six seed, Josh Heintzelman from Michigan, in the quarterfinals today. So hard to match what they did yesterday, but I think Penn State is positioned to have, on paper, 8 or 9 wins here in the quarterfinal round as well.
Now, I was going to ask, and you kind of just touched on it, 20 matches, 20 wins, what close shaves were there yesterday? Now, you're announcing the action for Penn State. You mentioned one there. Any other, mention that one again maybe, but any others like, uh-oh, this could go wrong? Were there any other really close shaves that, maybe in the third period you're wondering, maybe not, anything like that besides the one you mentioned?
Yeah, really, the only two that I think were, there were some close matches. Bo Bartlett's two bouts were close in score, but you just, I don't know. At least I never had the feeling watching it that Bartlett was really in danger of losing either of those. But Braxton Brown of Maryland is dangerous. I thought Braden Davis wrestled a really good and smart match against Brown and won that one 5-3. And then Trey Munoz is just, he is a terrific wrestler. He's a 2-time All-American for Oregon State. He made the move up. Had some struggles earlier in the year, but you just kind of knew with Josh Barr coming off of the injury at Big Ten that was a dangerous matchup. And I thought Barr was the aggressor throughout, but that doesn't always result in the win. But he did get in on the takedown and finish it in sudden victory to prevail. So that was, unquestionably the closest call. Again, Barr went at a couple of good matches, but I just... close matches, but I just never felt that he was threatened in those bouts, and so those were probably the closest ones for Penn State. But again, to come through the first two rounds of the tournament with 13 bonus point victories is pretty remarkable in and of itself.
Is Josh Barr okay? All right, he won his matches, great. But again, that injury a week, whatever, ago, is he, I'm assuming he's not near 100%. Is he okay?
Yeah, I think we may learn a little more after the tournament. As you said, he clearly is not 100%. I don't know what, it always kind of amuses me. Well, this guy is 70%. This guy is 90%. I don't know. He's not 100%. I do think he's moving well, and I think he is a very smart wrestler and kind of knows, all right, this is what I need to do, this is how I need to adjust. Now, this will obviously be a big test against Michael Beard, who is very athletic in his own right, and I think this will be a very tough matchup for Josh Barr. But again, he has the confidence of knowing that he handled him earlier in the year. Penn State obviously is very familiar with Beard as well from a scouting standpoint. I think they have a pretty good handle on what to expect. So I think that'll be a very tough and competitive bout. And Josh is not 100%, but I do think he's good enough to go out here and be really competitive against the best in the country. I don't rule him out in any of these bouts because of the injury.
All right. Now, there are, folks, other teams at this event. I know it doesn't seem like it, so to speak. Now, you mentioned Penn. I mean, just sort of an overview after day one, other teams that maybe did well, and maybe other teams like, uh-oh, they didn't do very well. What about the other guys?
Yeah, I think Nebraska's feeling very good about the they're kind of building off of what was a great Big Ten showing for them, where they finished as the runner-up to Penn State, and they are having a very strong showing. Oklahoma State is also in great position. Oklahoma State actually has six in the quarterfinals, Nebraska and Iowa with five each. Those are the only teams with more than four here in the quarterfinals, aside from Penn State. I think when you look at the team race, it's kind of shaping up to a large degree the way we expected in terms of the teams that are in the mix there, with Nebraska, Oklahoma State, Iowa, Minnesota, Ohio State, all in the running. I think, Lehigh has three into the quarterfinals, which I think is very impressive, and I think they're feeling good about that. I think Navy has a couple of quarterfinalists, which is great for that program. Kerry Colette, the former Penn State and Lock Haven great, is coaching Navy now, and again, to have a couple of quarterfinalists is a big deal for the Naval Academy, so I think they're having a good showing here as well. And Virginia Tech, I think, is a team to keep an eye on. I think they still have a lot of scoring potential here and could, you know, sneak into that race for a top five finish. They have four in the quarterfinals. So, the teams with more than three, it's Ohio State and Virginia Tech with four, Nebraska and Iowa with five, Oklahoma State with six, and then Penn State with all 10.
Now, there's, for folks that aren't familiar, there's a lot of action going on at the same time at this event. Multiple mats. I mean, it's crazy. Now, I think, we've got a couple of high school kids from here. Jude Swisher from Bellefonte, who wrestles for Penn. And yep. Malachi Duvall, I know Malachi from Penns Valley, wrestles for George Mason. Did you have a chance to see any of their action, while you weren't doing other stuff yesterday?
Yeah, a little bit. I unfortunately saw Swisher, get pinned, and then Malachi, I watched a little bit of his bout, and then I got distracted, as I am wont to do. But Malachi will be, he has a big one today against Gabe Arnold of Iowa, the 11th seed. Both Swisher and Duvall are in second round wrestleback action, so they need wins in this afternoon round to keep their seasons going into the evening session and to try to keep their All-America hopes alive. But Swisher, just a sophomore for Penn out of Bellefonte, he is the 14th seed, and he will wrestle at 157, the 29th seed, James Harrington of Harvard, here this afternoon. And then Malachi Duvall, the redshirt junior for George Mason from Penns Valley, again faces 11th seeded Gabe Arnold at 184 for Iowa. So those will be the two big matches coming up in the second round of wrestlebacks starting at noon. And kind of like last night, they still have the eight mats on the floor here for this third round. So the inside four mats will be used for the quarterfinals, and then they'll have the wrestleback action going on the four mats to the outside, and then once the quarterfinals finish up, we'll use all eight mats to finish up the consolation rounds here today. They'll have two rounds of consolations in this first session this afternoon.
All right, partner, let's have some fun. Get out your crystal ball. What's going to happen today? What do you think?
Yeah, listen, I'm always optimistic about this team, but it's just such a special team. I really think, listen, Penn State could run the table. I mean, I'm not ruling out the possibility of going 10-0 here in the quarterfinals. I think much more likely that they win 8 or 9. Certainly possible they could lose a couple of more there, and I obviously still be in very good shape in terms of the team race, but I think it'd be slightly disappointing if they don't get at least eight through to the semifinals now. And I think we'll end up doing that, getting the 8 or 9 into the semis. I think at the end of the day, when we finish up tonight, I really think Penn State is going to send at least 7. I think they'll set a record for sending the most to the finals, and I think they'll end up setting the record for most individual champions, which is 5, and I think they'll tie the record, which is the best you could do. Only the Minnesota team in 2001 had 10 All-Americans, and I really think right now all 10 of these guys will at least end up on the podium.
Now, again, Minnesota had 10 All-Americans that year, but am I right? Nobody was, there was no finalists. Nobody won a title for them that
Correct.
Year, right?
Yeah. Yep. All 10 of their guys, yep, finished between 3rd and 8th place at their respective weights.
7 in the finals. Oh my gosh. that's wow. Okay. We'll see what happens.
That's just we'll see what happens. There's certainly no guarantees, and really starting with this quarterfinal round, I mean, this is tough sledding now. You got great wrestlers and really good coaches all across the country. I mean, you earn anything you get from here on out. Sometimes those first couple of rounds, you just get some matchups against guys that, again, they've won a lot, but maybe haven't faced the competition that Penn State and some of these other top teams have. Once you get to the quarterfinals, you're facing top-end kids, and again, you're going to earn anything you get here. So there's nothing guaranteed, but I really like the way Penn State's wrestling right now. And I think some of these individuals are on course to turn some things around from Big Ten as well.
Wow, amazing. All right, two quick things before we let you go. Now, we've heard this rumor that President Donald Trump is going to show up at this gig, I'm assuming tomorrow.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about this rumor? And if so, are they ready for this?
Yes, there are all kinds of precautions being taken. There will be extra security, as you would expect. They're actually clearing, even with the media, and it's not making some folks happy, but they're clearing the arena at 11 o'clock tonight, and everybody needs to be out, they're saying, because they have to do a sweep. So, it'll be, again, he came a couple of years ago as well, and got quite an ovation. He's developed a pretty good rapport with the Penn State wrestling program, with hosting them previously, and I know there's been some good connections made. I know a couple of the wrestlers were asked about it, and Gable Steveson for Minnesota said, yeah, it's just cool. I don't care who the president is. It's cool to have the president of the United States want to attend an event that you're competing in. That's a big deal.
All right. Could you stay out of trouble for like 24 to 36 hours?
We're going to give it a shot. I'm making no promises, but I'm giving it a shot.
Stay out of trouble, all right? I want you back in the studio and not, you know, arrested by the Secret Service or something this weekend. Don't do that.
That's my plan, is exactly as you are saying.
All right, bud. Well, enjoy the calls. I mean, yesterday, I'm an idiot. I'm watching college basketball on TV. I'm listening to you on the Penn State stream, and then I jump over to ESPNU's coverage of the wrestling. By the way, before we go, could you do me a favor? Have a word with ESPNU and tell them, guys, would you leave the clock up on the screen so viewers know how much time is left in a period? I'm trying to watch yesterday, and that's not on the screen. And I'm thinking, okay, is there 10 seconds left? Is there 30 seconds left? It's like, come on. That drove me insane yesterday.
That would drive me insane. I didn't realize. Yeah, I don't. That's a little bizarre.
Okay, fine, whatever. Hey, have a good weekend. We'll see you back here Monday morning.
Sounds good. Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you. That's the Ironhead Jeff Byers from Philadelphia. Now, again, folks, I would love to say that we carry the wrestling, but Penn State has their prior arrangements with somebody else. We're working on that, by the way. You can listen to Jeff's call, by the way, if you go to the website, gopsusports.com, click on the Lion Vision link. Now, there's no vision. It's just audio. But you'll see the link for wrestling. You click on it, and you can listen to Jeff call the action. Noontime is the start of the action today. We'll be talking state issues when we return right after this.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
The Center County Recycling and Refuse Authority is proud to support local sports here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Check out our website at centercountyrecycles.org for employment opportunities, upcoming events, the authority's newsletter, and details on what can and can't be recycled, as well as updated schedules. That's centercountyrecycles.org. Once again, the website is centercountyrecycles.org. Your home for local sports. We are Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This spring we'll have live coverage of Center County baseball and softball. With the long, strong traditions of great players and great teams in our area, you can follow this season from opening day through the state championship. All right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. We wish all of the local athletes the best of luck in the upcoming season. Stay tuned for more local sports right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Like Cummings Supply Incorporated, located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, is looking to hire numerous carpenters, laborers, and operators starting immediately for the construction season. Like Cummings Supply is a reputable contractor that has been in business since 1948 and is family-owned. Like Cummings Supply specializes in building bridges, box culverts, and also performs demolition work throughout the mid-state region. Having a CDL is preferred but not necessary. Stop by their office located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport and fill out an application and have two forms of ID ready. Lycoming Supply is an EEO employer. You may mail a resume or visit their office at Lycoming Supply, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. for more information. Lycoming Supply Incorporated, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 today.
WFXX, your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Foxy Knowledge. Get up and get going.
Again, Scott here. I'm old. I like classical music. All right, sue me. The Ironhead would never play this. And that's okay. He's back on Monday. He gets to start driving again on Monday. So there we go. Welcome to Let's Talk here for a Friday. Sun's out. Yeah, a little cold, a little windy. Winter making a comeback. Well, we'll talk more about that maybe on Monday with our friend Joe Bastardi from WeatherBell.com. Right now we're going to talk state issues, one in particular, as we're rejoined in the studio by local state representative Paul Takac. Good morning.
Good morning, Scott. Nice to be with you. I really like the walk-on music, by the way. That's nice.
Hooked on
touch.
Classics, baby. All right. Yeah. 80s stuff. I'm sorry, the music today just doesn't cut it, but I'm old. What do I know? Lots to talk over. First off, for regular listeners, you know, that we kind of regularly, you know, have like a series where we talk with our local state representatives and senators. And so it's time to do that again. You're first. Representative Kerry Benninghoff's going to join us in studio one day next week. We're talking, obviously, they're all gentlemen. We're talking to the other gentlemen, so hopefully we'll have them in here, you know, sometime maybe in April and stuff like that, talking over state issues. Yeah, we're going to talk about Rockview. Obviously, that's a big one, but let me just, I don't know, just start with a general question. A couple of months now into this, you know, latest legislative session, what's been going? I mean, how's it been going down in Harrisburg? What, give us sort of a general overview report right now.
Sure. I'll try and summarize real quick. It's a really busy time because what we're doing is reformulating committees. All the legislation that was being worked on in the previous term has to be reintroduced, reconsidered. So, you know, it's working through the process of that. The governor did his budget proposal in early February. And then so we went through 3 weeks of appropriations hearings where each department, each agency comes in and answers questions from both the House and the Senate Appropriations Committee to basically justify their budget request. And they're asked a lot of questions. I'm sure we'll touch on some of the answers during the Department of Corrections, for example. It's been a really good start to the session, unlike Washington, where there was a lot of change and obviously a lot of turmoil ongoing. In Harrisburg, really the numbers stayed exactly the same. Despite all the change at the level in Washington, the House remained 102-101. We unfortunately lost one of my colleagues suddenly in the new year. And but in the Senate, there was a swap of seats, so we're still at 28-22, and of course Governor Shapiro is still governor. So there's a lot of stability, and I think that will, while it's going to be a difficult year to get things done, just given the polarization we're seeing, there's some stability. There's a familiarity and a good working relationship, I hope.
All right. I was going to ask later, but I'll toss it out now. There's this 101 to 101, 101 Democrats, 101 Republicans, tragic death from the gentleman from Western PA. If I recall reading, there's a special election, which is now or next week?
Tuesday,
okay. And the gentleman, I forgot the gentleman's name.
Matt Gergely.
That's right, okay. Yeah. Who's a Democrat. And I think the assumption is his particular district will probably, I guess, elect a Democrat again.
It's been historically a strong Democratic district and by registration. So, yeah, that's the assumption.
Okay. So it'll be 102 to 101 again. But it's been 101, 101 for, what, 2 months? The assumption, if you're just looking at that as well, nothing must be happening. It's a tie. Well, it's apparently, from what you just sort of described, that's not true. Things are happening.
Things are indeed happening. And a lot of this is also going through the committee structure where we have a 14-12 breakdown. So legislation is working its way through. But quite frankly, there's a lot of bipartisan legislation we can get through. Now, it's not always unanimous. There's still coalitions on either side for passing bills. But, you know, bills that have been sponsored by both sides, this is unlike what happened in the previous 12 years, not including the last session. But for a long, long time, really bills from only one side ever got passed. They were all Republican bills. So right now, we're actually running bipartisan bills with Republican as well as Democratic sponsors. And I think that's good because we're putting through things that are good policy and teeing them up. And we're passing it through and sending it over to the Senate side where historically much less has gotten through their process than through the House.
All right. All right, let's talk about the big one.
Yeah.
Boom. Rockview State Prison and the Quihana Boot Camp. I'm familiar with both, not because I went there, okay? No. We all know Rockview.
You didn't go to State Penn, you maybe went to Penn State, or
Penn State. Here's my shirt. Rather, we're on the radio, folks, you have to pretend. Drive up down Benner Pike, there it is. Quihanna Boot Camp, for folks who aren't familiar, is just north of Carthus, which is sort of barely in Clearfield County. It's a unique place. It's kind of a, I won't call it a wide open prison, but it's a boot camp, I guess, for minor infractions of stuff. I've driven through there many times. I mean, you literally drive through it to get to, if I'm going to Potter County, that's the way I go. And then hang a right and end up in Cinnamahoning and up and go. Beautiful drive, by the way. Gorgeous drive. You do not want to pull into the parking lot at Quihanna, which I did once about 20 years ago because my car broke down. And two guys from Kerwinsville picked me up in their pickup, and I was able to get a phone call out at the top of the mountain at Quihanna. So they pull over in the parking lot, and I'm like, hey, I got a signal here. I'm going to call for help. And I wasn't there 2 minutes, and these two rather hefty gentlemen come over to me like, what are you doing here? I'm like, my car broke down. Okay, sir, hurry up, get it done. So I've been to Quihanna, kind of. When the governor announced, okay, we want to close both of them. Now, were you surprised? Let's go back in history a little bit, because I think a lot of people were shocked. Like, what are you talking about? Were you surprised? What was your reaction when that first came out?
Yeah, so it was a surprise. He said during his budget address that we were expected to close a couple of facilities and save some money. You know, and let me start by saying we are dealing with public dollars, and we do have to look for efficiencies, and we have to make sure that we're being good stewards of the public fund. We have that fiduciary responsibility. The Department of Corrections is a major line item. So when he said we're looking at trying to find savings within the system, that made good sense. It wasn't the governor, but it was the Department of Corrections. And what's come out is that it was a very small group within the Department of Corrections that basically looked at all the data and made a recommendation that these two facilities be closed. That obviously set off a firestorm here. It happened so quickly. That's one of the things that really took me by surprise, was that it was mere days after the governor had made this announcement that the recommendation came down. So we immediately got to work trying to find out what were the criteria, how was this decision arrived at, and through the appropriations process, which I mentioned earlier, we had our first opportunity to really ask questions about how it arrived. And I will say this, too, that there was a law passed, I want to say it was 2018, it's called Act 133, which lays out a very deliberate process for closing a public safety facility. Prior to that, basically the Department of Corrections could just shut down a facility with little or no public comment or consideration. Now there's actually a deliberate process that's laid out that defines they need to hold at least one public hearing. They need to do a study from the Department of Community and Economic Development and the Department of General Services, find out what the land's worth, find out what the economic impact is, all those sort of things. So it does lay out a deliberate process. What came out of the appropriations hearings was that there's still a lot of unanswered questions here. One is, how did they arrive at the capacity calculations that they have? Right now they're saying that the capacity of the facilities and the system as a whole is around 48,000. Well, up until December of last year it was 42,000. So basically they just changed the calculation, which took Rockview in November, it was calculated at 101% capacity, and then suddenly it's down to 84% or whatever it was in January, with basically the same number.
Okay, that's odd.
It is odd, and we just need to understand why that calculation happened. The other thing is they keep saying that this facility is 110 years old. I'm speaking about Rockview. One of the buildings is 110 years old. But if you've ever been there, and I've been there many times, there's a lot of other buildings. There's actually 9 residential units. Benner Township sits right next door to it. They also share a water system. They share a sewer system. So it came out that they can't really just close Rockview. They have to keep at least some portion of it open in order to still support Benner Township Prison, which is right next door, literally just across through a tree line. So, you know, if that older building is where the $74 million in savings is coming from, what if you just take that building offline? Does that account for all or most of the savings that they're talking about? And I've been hearing that a lot of those repairs are actually already been done or are under contract and will be done anyway. So I guess the question is really, where are the savings in detail? Where are these being calculated? And what impact is this going to have on the local community?
Yeah, actually, a little confusing. You touched on it there. Now, if I'm driving by, I see prison, boom, Rockview and Benner. There's two things there. This is just Rockview.
This is just Rockview.
Not Benner.
Not Benner Township.
Okay. Why not both of them? I guess why this one, not that one? They're right next to each other. I don't get it.
They're treated as separate facilities, but interestingly, they are so close together, and they're, as I say, their infrastructure is intertwined. What's also really interesting, and this is an important factor potentially in why this prison was actually slated for closure, and it's an important consideration if it does move forward, all or in part. Of closure, it used to be the state prison farm. So within the perimeter, within the fence of Rockview is about 31 acres. And there's 9 residential units, and there's a lot of facilities within that. But outside is 5,700 acres. Because it used to be, as in many folks who remember it being actively farmed.
It's a lot of ground, yeah.
It is a lot of ground. I mean, it's forest, it's fields, it's some wildlands, you know, along the Spring Creek Canyon all the way down to there. So you can see some of the old barns and yeah. The remnants of them and the old facility. So that is a very developable corridor, too. It's a very desirable corridor. It's one of the few areas in, you know, east of State College. It sits right in between Benner and we're seeing all the development just up the road with the Wawa and the Sheets and the
But that's Rutters. State land.
It is
Has
state
anybody
land.
Talked about, hey, let's take this land and sell it and make money for the state and all that sort of thing?
A lot of people would like to see that happen. That would be a very desirable corridor to develop. You know, certainly the mall area and Shiloh Road, that area near, a lot of investments happening there and some revitalization of the mall area, and hopefully we're going to have some good news about, you know, some projects there here soon. But, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into this, and I think one of the problems, the things that I'm really concerned about, number one is that the voice of the people needs to be heard. Right. I mean, this was a very small group of people that made this recommendation, and it's not a done deal. It is a recommendation still. I'm treating it that way. We need to make sure that all of the factors are considered, but also all the possibilities are considered. I mean, there may be an opportunity here to get wins for everyone. We can save money. We can, you know, save and retain jobs. And I should say that the Department of Corrections has said that everybody will be offered a position elsewhere within the department. So, you know, they won't lose jobs, but they may have a much longer commute. They may lose, you know, their preferred shift, those kinds of things. But we may be able to come up with a solution that is an optimal solution that isn't an all or nothing. But we have to hear from everybody what this is. And that's been my focus since day one, since 10:30 on a Monday morning when, you know, we all heard about this.
We'll take a break in just a moment. Yeah, I remember when that came out, and I remember the line in the release or something. Folks will keep their jobs, but at a nearby facility. And I think I laughed out loud, like, Okay, you want to define nearby. You've obviously researched this. Where is nearby?
So, by definition, it's within a 67-mile radius of the current facility. But in talking with the Department of Corrections, my understanding is it may be actually around their residence. Because as it is right now, a lot of people drive from some distance to work there. And that's why when I talk about Rockview, I also put Quiana in there. Because, you know, the folks who live in Center County may work in the Clearfield facility, and the folks who live in Clearfield may work in the Center County facility, as well as Clinton, as well as Huntingdon and Cameron and Cambria. I mean, people come from a long way. These are good jobs. They're union jobs that have good benefits, and they're stable, you know, good paying jobs. And we need to make sure that we're protecting those folks. And it isn't folks who necessarily live in and around the immediate State College area. There's people who travel.
But where are the nearby facilities? There's a state prison in Muncie. Yep. That's south of Williamsport.
Huntingdon. Is known. Yeah. So there's a few of them. Benner, there's going to be some positions still there. And I mean, that's literally just across the tree line, as I said.
But how many would that be? Aren't they full? Or
there's positions. There's turnover. You know, there's open positions there. There's a handful of facilities. I haven't looked at the map, but there's going to be opportunities for folks to move. But look, if you've spent your lifetime, the other thing that I think was not taken into account is there's no one alive listening to us or living in this area who was born before this prison was built. So there's generations of people who have a tie to this facility, right? It's not only the people who currently work there. I've talked to a lot of retirees. I've talked to people whose grandparents and great-grandparents work there. You know, this has been a part of the fabric of our community for a very, very long time. So we want to make sure we do this right.
All right. Now, we're going to take a break. Again, our guest is local state representative Paul Tankak. When we come back, you have a series, I guess, of I'm calling them town halls. I think you're calling them listening sessions or something like that. And the first one is this evening. So we'll run those down, because I'm going to guess there's a whole lot of people that probably want to show up at these various things. So, folks, stay tuned. We will get back to that as soon as I can hit this funky button right here. There we go. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Yes, probably before we wrap up, I'm going to ask about all the shenanigans in D.C. and how they affect Harrisburg, because there's got to be some kind of effect, but hold that thought, all right? Hey, we got a beautiful sunny Friday morning. Get out and enjoy it, although I think you're going to need a coat. It's a little blustery this morning. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We will return.
Finally, the soundtrack of summer is returning to the airwaves here in Happy Valley. And it's doing so right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This year's Pittsburgh Pirates offer a mix of veteran stars.
Andrew McCormick has won it! They're going crazy! The Pirates have won this game!
And perhaps baseball's newest shining star.
The 2-2. He got him, and he's done it again. Paul Skenes finishes strong.
Every game all season long brings the promise of new excitement.
The Bucks walk it off in grand fashion.
Don't miss the action of Pirates baseball this season. The Buccos are back here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Jolly Roger!
The Center Hall Farm Store is proud to serve our community as a small family business that provides big-time service. Folks, you can still stock up on those wood pellets this winter. The Center Hall Farm Store makes its own horse, cow, pig, chicken, and bird feeds and has a great variety of pet feeds for your needs. Open weekdays from 8 to 4 and Saturday from 8 to noon. Check us out at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall or on the web at centerhallfarmstore.com. That's centerhallfarmstore.com.
We'll be right back.
The Center County Recycling and Refuse Authority is proud to support local sports here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Check out our website at centercountyrecycles.org for employment opportunities, upcoming events, the authority's newsletter, and details on what can and can't be recycled, as well as updated schedules. That's centercountyrecycles.org. Once again, the website is centercountyrecycles.org.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Dodder Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time, even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Dodder Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Dodder Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Dodder Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
The Fox!
Get up and get going with the Happy Valley, 98.7 The Fox!
Okay, Scott has a sense of humor of sorts on playing Money for Nothing. That might fit into what we're talking about. I don't know. Or I'm just crazy. Let's talk here on a Friday morning. We have another segment with our guest, local state representative Paul Takac. Again, talking about Rockview and Quihana and the idea that they'll close both of them. I mean, Representative, let's say this happens. When would it happen?
So the process that I mentioned earlier about the Act 133 lays out a specific time period of 90 days from the announcement to the completion of those studies and the public hearing and everything, which the Department of Corrections public hearing, by the way, has been scheduled. It will be 5 in the evening on April 15th, and it will be at Bald Eagle Area High School. So, again, a large venue to accommodate what we expect to be a lot of people showing up. So 90 days to make the recommendation, or it can't be any sooner than 90 days. There's no sort of outer time limit to it. And then once that decision is made, it lays out a process of, I believe, 4 months.
Okay. So they we'll call them the official people. We'll have one event. Now you have, well, I've got it right here. You have 5 events starting this evening. So what is this? What's going on?
So as soon as this was announced, we started fielding calls and emails and letters and people stopping me in the grocery store to talk about this. There's been just this incredible outpouring of people who are concerned. They have questions. They have concerns. This is incredibly impactful. You know, the county commissioners have estimated it could be $120 million economic impact in the 3-county area, Clinton, Clearfield, and Center. So this is a big, big deal. And my concern is that everybody's voice be heard. So we went ahead and scheduled and are sponsoring, hosting a series of 5 listening sessions, town halls, whatever you will, where I am going to be hosting those. I've invited other elected officials, county commissioners, our other state representatives as well. And we just want to make it a town hall. We want to hear what people's concerns are, because I'm in a position where I can accurately and fully convey those to the Department of Corrections and to the governor's team, who ultimately will make this decision. But they need to understand the impact from the folks who are actually living this.
Okay. So, again, now, do you want to run down these 5? I don't know if
sure.
you have them memorized
yeah.
or something. I printed them out on a sheet.
Yeah, well, you did me a favor, because sometimes I don't know where I'm going to be until I look at my calendar in the morning. But the first one is tonight. It's in Milesburg at the Milesburg Community Center. It's right next door to the Snappies there where they do bingo and everything. It's at 5 o'clock. We have it scheduled for 90 minutes. But, again, we don't know how many people are going to show up, but we're going to listen, we're not going to talk. I'll lay out a little bit of what we want to do. Again, I've invited other elected officials. I think some business people, other organizations will be there. Next week, we have one in Howard, at the United Methodist Church on March 27th. Another one at Benner a few days later, Benner Township, the municipal building. State College at the SCLO Library on April 2nd and Snowshoe on April 7th. They all begin at 5 o'clock. They all go for at least an hour and a half until they kick us out, perhaps. I don't know. But I deliberately wanted to put them around the district because, you know, there's I want to make sure that there's no one who believes that they haven't had an opportunity to be heard. And so, you know, you can call our office. We'll send those out, hopefully. I actually saw it today. It was in statecollege.com on their community events calendar. So we're really trying to get the word out that, you know, we're here to listen, and I'm here to make sure that those voices are heard.
I predict you're going to go long. Just a thought. 90 minutes, I think you're going to go long. Now, you're calling this a listening tour, but you're not just listening, right? I'm assuming you're gathering data from these five, and then you're going to do something. If I were you, that's what I would do. I'd gather data from eight, who knows how many people, and I would deliver it to somebody. Is that the plan?
We already have been doing that. I mean, as I said, we've received hundreds of calls and emails. Interesting, we received almost 100 letters from inmates as well, who
current inmates,
okay, who are saying, you know, some of them, I've been in the system, I've been incarcerated for decades, this is the best facility, this is, you know, I feel like I'm being rehabilitated. I found a community. I've gone to spiritual community, or I've found, you know, psychological support, or, you know, it's disruptive to everyone. You know, you build a community with inside, not just with the corrections officers and the staff, but also with the inmates. And for many people, this is a stable situation for them. I don't know to what degree that is going to impact things, but I believe that everyone's voice should be heard in this, and it's a big, big deal, and I'm in a position to make sure that folks are heard.
Now, let's see if I have this right. If Rockview stays open, they decide, okay, we changed our minds, we're going to leave it open. Apparently, the facility needs some fix-ups, like I think one story said $70 million of fix-ups. Representative, that's a lot of money.
It is, and if those are truly the savings, that is a really big consideration. As I started off by saying, these are public dollars. We need to be frugal. We need to be responsible. We need to be efficient with public dollars. But we also have to be careful. There are some indications that some of that $74 million over a 10-year period have already been spent or have already been allocated or would happen anyway. And, as I said before, we're sort of thinking all or nothing. It's a big facility. If you take one or two buildings out of the equation, is that where the lion's share of the savings would come from? In other words, is there some sort of middle ground or some subdivision of the facility that would accomplish that goal but still retain a lot of the benefits of having the facility there in the first place?
Should I assume you've heard from somebody, yeah, go ahead, do it? You know, because we talked about all that wide open land, just like right Benner Pike, just right there, thinking, well, we could do this and this and this and this and this. Should I assume you've heard from somebody on that side of the argument, or is it just all keep Rockview open? What give us a rundown there?
Sure. No, of course we have, and it's just common sense that there's opportunities there. However, I see this as a two-part. The first is the decision to close all or part of Rockview and or Quiana. By the way, we haven't talked much about Quiana, but it has a very, very low recidivism rate. It's a very successful program within the system. So, you know, hopefully it stays there. But in any case, I hope that kind of a system, that kind of a program continues somewhere within the system because it is highly successful. If we get to the point where all or part of it closes, then my mindset shifts to how do we maximize the benefit to our community and to our local economy? You know, I'm not interested in just turning over public lands to developers for their own benefit solely. I believe that we need to make sure that we're trying to do the best we can for the community. There's a lot of needs that have been identified, you know, affordable housing, and we need recreational opportunities. We need to protect some of those very sensitive ecological areas. There's been some concern about losing prime farmland. You know, so there's lots of competing interests here. Navigating those will be a second challenge should we get to the point where the decision is made. But yeah, there's a handful of people who would love to see this move forward. But again, that would be a rush to judgment in my mind. And that's something that I'm in a position to hopefully help guide. It's not my decision ultimately, but if I can bring everybody to the table and we can find good solutions, that's what I did during my business career. You know, it's something that I have a lot of familiarity with.
All right. Now, the governor makes this pronouncement a few weeks ago. You're a Democrat. The governor's a Democrat. You're essentially, you could say, taking on your own team. That must be odd. How does that feel? That must be a strange feeling.
The governor and I and his team have a very good relationship. And, you know, I wouldn't expect him to expect any less of me than advocating for my community. I've been very upfront with him that, you know, I represent the 82nd District. I represent Center County. I also represent the people of the Commonwealth, and we have a lot in common on that. But as far as I know, he himself and his immediate team have not been directly involved in the deliberations so far. It's my job to advocate for them. Look, we can disagree about things. But that doesn't mean we have to be disagreeable, and it doesn't mean we have to, you know, fight all the time. This is an opportunity to potentially strengthen our relationship, and I have worked very closely with the governor, and he's been a good partner in many, many different things, including an agricultural innovation bill that we worked on and we're continuing to try and develop. So, you know, there's a lot of reasons to maintain the strength of that relationship while still fighting like hell for our district, basically.
All right, let's move on to some other things before we let you go, because there are other things going on. Governor comes out with his budget proposal, kind of big. Biggest ever. I've seen multiple stories that, you know, hey, we're going to empty out that budget surplus and then we're going to have to dip into the rainy day fund. I mean, if Paul, that bothers me a little bit. We had this big pot of money and now, whoop, it's supposed to be all gone in a relatively short period of time. Is anybody in Harrisburg talking about this, or is that just not accurate?
There's a lot of difference of opinion about to what degree that is true or not true. There's basically two different budget projections. And quite frankly, given the uncertainty of what's happening in the economy right now, I mean, you alluded to some of the chaos in Washington. We have to keep close track of what is coming in and what we're spending, obviously. There are some big needs. You know, we've talked before about education funding as being a big need. We have potentially the loss of a lot of federal dollars coming into the Commonwealth. You know, we have to make sure that we're taking care of our seniors and our veterans and you know, folks who are vulnerable, children, and, you know, establishing food programs. I mean, there's big needs within the Commonwealth, and we need to be very responsible with the dollars that we have. But the way I look at that kind of spending is it's an investment. And I'll give you just one example. The federal dollars that come in through SNAP, right, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, which GT is responsible for through the agriculture
Department. Glenn Thompson.
Glenn Thompson, okay. I'm sorry, yeah. Yes. Thompson. Our Congressman Glenn Thompson. For every dollar that comes in, it actually generates $1.59 in economic activity. It supports farmers. It supports, you know, retail, groceries. You know, it ripples through the economy. So the way I look at some of these are as investments, not just spending. It's not like you're taking a match to these dollars. You're actually amplifying them. And another example would be we've got many programs where we're trying to create public-private partnerships, either through tax credits or through matching grants. That's that Ag Innovation Bill, for example, where we're trying to create jobs, we're trying to create opportunity, we're trying to support our economy by making those strategic investments. And I would argue education is one of those as well. So differences of opinion, it's going to be an interesting budget year, but ultimately, hey, we work for the same people. We're going to get it done. It may not be exactly on time. I'd rather do it right than get it to the day.
Pardon me for laughing. It's never exactly on time. Come on. June 30 is supposed to be exactly on time.
I will say, we're the only full-time divided legislature in the country. So everything we do has to be bipartisan, right? Because we need 102 votes in the House, we need 26 votes in the Senate, and we need the governor to be on board. So everything we do has to be negotiated and in a bipartisan way. I'm confident we'll get there, but we don't necessarily start out simpatico and side by side, but we work our way there.
You mentioned cannabis earlier, marijuana, all right, recreational marijuana. Governor apparently wants to push this. Is that going to happen? Because I keep seeing Republicans in the state Senate like, nah, we're not fans of this move. Could that actually happen, or is that still a big, giant question mark?
There's a lot of work happening in the background, but it's a tremendously complex issue, in part because it is still illegal at the federal level. So, you know, I was raising issues just in a recent meeting about this. You know, look, people who have a commercial driver's license, a CDL license, or people who are veterans or are in the VA system, you know, they couldn't use it in any case, right? So they're excluded from that. So it's still illegal at the federal level. But even at the state level, how do we regulate this industry? We don't want it to generate a black market. We don't want it to get out of control. I will say, frankly, some of the states around us lost control of the market, let's say, within their borders. So
what does that mean, lost control? What does that
mean? It's not a very well-regulated market. It's basically kind of a free-for-all in terms of who's growing, who's selling, what the points of sale are. You know, do we follow something that's more like the state store model, right, so that we can make sure that it's, you know, 21 and over and that these are products that are safe and are grown here and, you know, those kinds of things? Or do we kind of open it up, and which potentially creates a lot of chaos? So it's a tremendously complicated issue, but there's a lot of work and a lot of conversation. And one other source of revenue that I might mention, but let me stop and say, we are losing revenue to our border states. There are lots of people who drive to New York or New Jersey or where it is legal, and, you know, so we are losing that revenue, but that shouldn't be the only driver. It is a factor, but it's not the only factor. There's also skill games. You know, you see these skill games all over. So the governor has proposed, you know, taxing and regulating those, because right now there's this proliferation of them. And so all of these sort of revenue streams are tied in with the budget projections, as well as the sort of the income from the economy and how it's doing. Because right now we're not seeing this magical improvement in the economy that we were promised.
It's only been 2 months. We'll see what happens. Actually, there's a final question there as we wrap up. Yeah, we all see the news from D.C. every day. It's just, I've joked, Donald Trump is the greatest gift to talk shows. I mean, we got so much to talk about. Ha, ha, ha. And you sort of alluded to this a little bit earlier. How does that affect Harrisburg? All the craziness, you know, now we're going to kill the Department of Education, which, I'll be honest, I'm kind of almost along with that one for a bunch of reasons. How does what happens in D.C. affect state government in Harrisburg?
So some of the things that might be cut would have tremendous impacts, and people just don't realize it yet. I mean, we just heard that many of the beaches at Raystown, for example, are not going to be opening.
Campgrounds, yeah.
Campgrounds, right? Because, you know, you start cutting people. The Park Service let go 1,000 employees and just on an emergency basis decided to hire back part-time people to try and keep our national parks open. Those kinds of things. But also cuts to Medicaid will shut down rural hospitals. They will close nursing homes. There may not be opportunities for those, you know, facilities to be able to stay open. So it can have tremendous and direct impacts. It already is having. But the worst part of it is, and by the way, I would put Elon Musk in this category of gifts to talk show hosts.
Yeah, because he's done pretty well.
nobody elected him, and yet he and his team are coming in, and they've been given a license to sow tremendous chaos and confusion and, frankly, incompetence, to be firing people one day and then trying to desperately hire them back the next day. That is a recipe for disaster. I was literally standing at the Philadelphia wholesale produce market talking with an importer about the impact of tariffs on food prices, because this guy imports from both Canada and Mexico, and exports, by the way. While we're standing there talking, some tweet comes up on Truth Social that says, oh, never mind, we're not going to do it for 30 days.
Postpone this tariff.
And it's like, I mean, how do you run a business that way? I mean, how do you, he literally had spent, his team had spent so much time preparing for setting prices, and then suddenly it changes. So, you know, there's just a ton of mismanagement that's happening right now, and it's causing us a lot of heartache because we don't know what's happening next. My belief is that there's a lot of rakes in the grass and people are stepping on them. It just hasn't quite hit them in the forehead yet. But once it does, people are going to be like, ah, this affects all of us. And what's happening right now will absolutely affect all of us. And we can come back another time and I can argue about the Department of Education.
Well, we might. So, okay. Well, I'll hold you to that.
Fair enough.
Very quickly, tonight. What is tonight? What's going on tonight?
Tonight, 5 o'clock, we'll be in Milesburg at the Community Center. It's an opportunity for folks to come out and make their voices heard about these proposed Rockview and Quijana boot camp closures. I will be there. I've invited all the other local elected officials. There'll be some other folks there. You know, please come out if you haven't already. And by the way, if you have already emailed us or called us, or we're tracking everything. So, you know, but come out. It's an opportunity for you to ensure that you show me and other elected officials, you know, what this would mean to our community. And then I can take it from there and make sure that that is heard in Harrisburg.
And then there are four other ones over the next two and a half weeks or thereabouts. So I'm going to keep this sheet, and as the calendar moves, we'll kind of mention, hey, this is coming up tonight and so on.
I would be very appreciative.
If you're interested, folks, in attending. Appreciate your time.
I always appreciate the opportunity to come and chat with you.
You certainly don't have boring business down there of any kind. So thank you again, and good luck tonight.
All right, and good luck to Penn State Wrestling. I'm really looking forward to this weekend. It should be a lot of fun.
I'm not sure they need luck anymore.
Well, yeah, but it's still, yeah, there may be a little
historic
bit
historic might be the word. So,
yes.
All right, thanks again.
Thank you.
That's local state representative Paul Takac. We appreciate his time. Again, we sort of have a cycle where we talk to our elected officials. One day next week, State Representative Kerry Benninghoff is already scheduled to join us. State Senator Chris Dush is getting over some surgery. We're going to have him, but hopefully maybe in a couple of weeks. And then Scott Conklin, Wayne Langer, Hulk, hopefully we'll be getting them on as well. And yeah, Rockview is probably going to be a hot topic for all of those gentlemen. So stay tuned. We're going to take a break and then quickly wrap up when we come back.
Finally, the soundtrack of summer is returning to the airwaves here in Happy Valley. And it's doing so right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This year's Pittsburgh Pirates offer a mix of veteran stars.
Andrew McCormick has won it! They're going crazy! The Pirates have won this game!
And perhaps baseball's newest shining star.
The 2-2.
He got him, and he's done it again. Paul Skeens finishes strong.
Every game all season long brings the promise of new excitement.
The Bucks walk it off in grand fashion.
Don't miss the action of Pirates baseball this season. The Buccos are back here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Raise the Jolly Roger!
Your home for local sports. We are Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This spring we'll have live coverage of Center County baseball and softball. With the long, strong traditions of great players and great teams in our area, you can follow this season from opening day through the state championship. All right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. We wish all of the local athletes the best of luck in the upcoming season. Stay tuned for more local sports right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Lycoming Supply Incorporated, located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, is looking to hire numerous carpenters, laborers, and operators starting immediately for the construction season. Lycoming Supply is a reputable contractor that has been in business since 1948 and is family-owned. Lycoming Supply specializes in building bridges, box culverts, and also performs demolition work throughout the mid-state region. Having a CDL is preferred but not necessary. Stop by their office located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport and fill out an application and have two forms of ID ready. Lycoming Supply is an EEO employer. You may mail a resume or visit their office at Lycoming Supply, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. for more information. Lycoming Supply Incorporated, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 today.
Recent changes to analog phone lines have increased faxing costs dramatically. With Cloud Fax Solutions from Doing Better Business, you can now have a reliable, scalable method, which is great for compliance. XM Fax integrates seamlessly with our Ricoh and all multifunctional devices and provides a secure, shared experience with automatic workflow routing. Take your faxing to the cloud with Doing Better Business. Our solutions and service teams are ranked in the top 10% of the country for customer satisfaction. Visit us today at doingbetterbusiness.com.
All right, how about some good old-fashioned marching music? Dun, 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 dun. Okay, I'm old, folks. Give me a break, all right? All right, we got what? We got a whopping 2 minutes of time here to wrap up Let's Talk for a week on a beautiful, another beautiful, sunny morning. So get out and going to be cooler. You're going to need a jacket if somehow you still haven't been out this morning. Going to be windy. And again, weather-wise, you're looking at the weather for the next 2 weeks. Most nights, not all, most nights are going to be at or below freezing going into, what would that be, the second week of April. Well, Joe Bastardi warned us. Hey, yeah, Joe will join us again on Monday. He is crackerjack when it comes to weather. Thank you for the time again today. The Ironhead Jeff Byers will be back in here with me on Monday. We'll talk about this. Well, we'll see what happens today. We should never suppose, right? NCAA wrestling, never suppose, because that's when you normally get burned. 10 guys in the quarterfinals is unheard of. If somehow they got 10 guys in the semifinals, that would be over the top. Forget about the finals tomorrow night. Just talk about today's action. Wrestling, by the way, gets rolling again at noon. Again, if you want to listen to the Ironhead, he is the master when it comes to wrestling announcing. No, not that way. Go on Penn State's website, gopsusports.com. Click on the Lion Vision link. Now, this is there's no vision. This is audio in this case. But just look for the wrestling link there. That's what I did yesterday. Clicked on it. There's the Iron Head calling the action and so on. We will see what happens with these guys. Just or this is history in the making. The question is, can they keep this juggernaut rolling? Well, we'll start to find out more early this afternoon. Appreciate you joining us. Thanks again to local representative Paul Taycock for coming in this evening. Again, that event, if you are really wound up about Rockview and Quihana, this evening from 5 to 6:30 at the Milesburg Community Center. Then there's another event next week in Howard, and then three more events after that as they figure out whatever's going to be happening here. This is pretty major. All right. Agree, disagree, that's up to you. Folks, have a terrific weekend. We'll talk to you again Monday morning.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.